everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy you're here with us today. All Have Another is a fun podcast where I talk to people who leave you feeling inspired and refreshed. We talk about some serious things, some not so serious things, and I just try my best to keep it real and have fun with my guests on the show. Today, you are listening to episode 6, and we are talking with Sarah Bowen Shea. Sarah is one of the co-founders of the organization Another Mother Runner. This is a business she founded with her friend Demity, and it's a great online community and in-person community, really. In this episode, I talk with Sarah about what it looked like to start that business and then what she does every day in her day-to-day operations and how all that looks. We also get to chatting about Justin Bieber, bar class, our favorite workout songs, and how stupid I was for training for a marathon so soon after my first baby. What was I thinking? Along with this episode, we are doing an Instagram giveaway. They are graciously giving away a Train Like a Mother Club package and a badass Mother Runner trucker hat. Both really fun items, and you can find out more about what those entail on their website, anothermotherrunner.com. All right, have you subscribed to the show? I hope so. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell anybody you know that might be interested. I would love to have the new listeners. Molly Knapp, thank you for listening. Molly says on iTunes, "I'll Have Another is just what I'm looking for in a podcast. Part running, part motivational, part hilarious, and all totally relatable and sincere. This quickly has become my go-to podcast for a run or while I'm relaxing at the end of the day making dinner. Can't wait for another episode." Thank you so much, Molly. Hey guys, if you would rate and review that show, that'll help other people find the show, so I'd really appreciate that. Okay, let's get talking with Sarah. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good, Lindsay. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
I'm delighted to be a guest.
You were one of my, I made a list of the people I wanted to bring on, and you were one of my top choices. And I felt fortunate enough that I already knew you prior, so I didn't have to send some random email to your PR team and request an interview.
And you assume I have a PR team, so that's very flattering.
True.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to be talking with you.
So we met, this is so cool because I work part-time, and I bring this up a lot on the podcast, at a specialty run store. And you had called our store because Another Mother Runner was kind of touring around with your latest book, and you guys were looking for a place in Indianapolis to come tour.
Yes. Yes.
And I was so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, Another Mother Runner is calling me. That's crazy.
I know. It was so funny. I remember you didn't like say that right away. So I like go into my whole song and dance. And then you're like, oh yeah, I know Another Mother Runner. I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Okay.
I know exactly who you are. So let's go into that. Who is Sarah? What is Another Mother Runner?
So I am a mom of three in Portland, Oregon. I have been a runner for, oh gosh, more than three decades. I started, I guess I ran a little in high school because the guy I was dating was a runner, but mainly I took up running because I went to a small liberal arts college in central New York called Colgate, and there isn't a whole lot to do in that part of the world for a 18-year-old. So I took up rowing and started running as cross-training for rowing, because once I took up a sport, I was very eager to get good at it and get in shape for it. So then, and Colgate was actually the connection with how I know my business partner, Dimity McDowell, and together we founded Another Mother Runner. I feel like there should be a little drum roll. And together we are Another Mother Runner. And so Dimity also is a graduate of Colgate, also a rower there, but she's 6 years younger than I am. But we connected at a Colgate crew reunion thing that I went back for. And so Dimity and I were both freelance magazine writers once we graduated and had some magazine jobs and then were freelancing. And so in, I guess, 2006, Dimity was pregnant with her second kid. I had already had my daughter and my twins were 1 year old. And she called up and said, hey, This was pre-email, I guess, probably, and or much of it. And so she said, listen, I suffered from postpartum depression after Amelia, her daughter, was born, and now I'm worried I'll slide back down that slope once I have this second baby. Would I think training for a marathon would be a good idea? Will you train and run one with me after I have the baby? And I'm thinking, that's a year from now. Sure, I'll say yes, because she'll forget. well, I have learned since being in business with Dimity since then that she does not forget, and God bless her. And trained, quote unquote, together. She lives in Denver, and as I said, I'm here in Portland. And we wrote about our experience for Runner's World magazine, and that spun into our first book, which is called Run Like a Mother, which came out in 2010, and we just felt there was this amazing community of women runners. That's what the book speaks to, and we just started to build up a social media community for those women, and it has just grown since then to be a website, a very active Facebook page, an online store. We now have a training club. We have a weekly podcast. So it's just, we just talk and interact and entertain and inform women runners.
That's awesome. I heard about you guys, when I became a mother runner. I had my first son, Marshall, in 2012. And about, I don't know, he was probably 6 months old. One of your writers, I think Heather is her name.
Yes,
She contacted me and asked me if I wanted to be highlighted in another mother runner. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. So I looked it up and she highlighted me. And that was kind of when I was peaking and marathon training. I don't know why I was doing that so quickly after having a baby, but I was. I'm looking back now after having my second baby. I look back and I think, I ran a marathon when my child was 4 months old. What is wrong with me?
Oh my goodness, exactly what was wrong with you.
I know. Like, I think I was in denial about the fatigue and what it really meant to take care of a baby.
Wow. How soon after you had Marshall did you start running again?
I waited the 6 weeks that the doctor recommended. Yeah. I had a C-section with him.
Oh, okay.
He was breech. So, they offered to do that aversion where they turned the baby. Mm-hmm. And I was typical paranoid first-time pregnant mom. And I was like, let's just leave him how he is. If you turn him,
wow,
then I have to wait 2 weeks and be paranoid about the cord and all that. So, I had a C-section with him. And actually, I was able to have a natural, or not natural, I did have an epidural, but a V-back with my second baby, which was really what I wanted to do. So,
oh, nice. I have to say that my twins are boy, girl, and my son was what they call twin A, which means he was closest to the door, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And he was breech. And so they will not do that trying to shift a baby when it's twins. And so we did what's called moxibustion, which is a practice that acupuncturists do or Chinese herbalists do.
Well, I think if I would have told my husband that I was going to try this sage method, he always laughs at me when I try these holistic things, and he thinks that, he thinks I get it from my mom because my mom's really into that stuff. But I mean, you literally used an herb and it flipped the one and then flipped the other.
It didn't flip the boy. He stayed breech. And so the girl baby who was in the right position, whose butt down to start with, she flipped over. And so we got taught how to do moxibustion by an acupuncturist. And then so my husband learned how to do it. And so every morning we would go into our bathroom and turn on the fan so that the smoke would get sucked out. And he would hold it near my little toes. And then I would lie on an ironing board that I had tilted up, one end of it resting on a footrest, and so that I would lie kind of on that angle with my head down toward the floor for about 15 or 20 minutes in the hopes that it would make him flip around. And it was so hideously uncomfortable. Like, my back hurts just thinking about it. And so she flipped. So they were both breech, and then she ended up, and we're like, forget it, we're done. And then she ended up flipping back to butt down. I had a C-section because he just firmly stayed breech. It's because he loved me so much. He was just hunkered down in his mama. So.
Yes. I feel like with Marshall, my breech one, he's just a very stubborn, kind of particular kid. And I'm like, well, you were like that just right from the start, weren't you? So anyway, yeah, I started running way sooner after, like, I mean, I took the 6 weeks off between after both babies, but I think I was way more, I am sticking to this because of the C-section, obviously their recovery is a lot more intense. Just kind of slowly built my every weekend I would build my long runs, and I mean, I only did one 20-mile long run, and then, I got to the marathon and I went out, typical way too fast because I felt good for 13 miles, and I got to mile 13 and I was thinking, I mean, I knew I was in over my head. Not doing the distance. Had I gone out at a reasonable pace, I think the distance would have been fine, but I did not go out at a reasonable pace. And I remember the last 3 miles just kind of, I think there were tears for sure. And my husband Glenn had raced the half and he ran a PR and had an excellent race. And then
Wow.
he drove, got the car, drove up to mile 20. To find me, and I here I come chugging along at mile 20, feeling like crap, and he's all on a high from his PR, and he was just running 6 minute miles for 13 miles, so my
Oh, sure.
yeah not fast at all. And so my at that point I was probably running, I don't know, an 8:30 mile, and it felt like a walk in the park because he was just cooling down. And I said a couple words but not many, and then about mile 23 he said, You probably just want me to stop talking, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, let's just get
That's a
to the
good
finish
idea,
line.
Glenn. Yeah.
Yeah, no more talking, and let's just get to the finish line. And I was remember thinking, why am I doing this to myself?
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
the
Why
next
am I not
mare,
taking a nap when my baby naps and, all
yes,
that stuff?
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not doing this? So the next one I ran, I was much smarter about how I ran the race, and it reminded me, of why I do it, and it wasn't miserable. So you can be miserable, but you don't have to be.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
So, with another mother runner, I mean, what year did you start? I mean, what year were you like, we're launching this website?
So from when we wrote the feature for Runner's World, we blogged on their site on runnersworld.com, and then we had a couple we had we were the marathon moms, and so we had our own URL that we blogged on. But then our big push when we launched Run Like a Mother, the book, that was also when Another Mother Runner started. So that was February of 2010. And because our publicist was like, oh, when you launch a book, you have to have a Facebook page and Twitter. And we were like, okay, we can do Facebook, but we don't want to do Twitter. And then I remember I thought that was our decision. And then Dimity calls up. She's like, hey, I made Twitter handles for us. You're at SBS on the Run, and I'm at Dimity on the Run. I'm like, oh, okay. Yes. So, and then we, started getting marketing partners the following year, I guess, when we had our what we call our Relamiversary. RLAM stands for Run Like a Mother, so we made a little word out of it, and so we had parties in both Portland and Denver, and that was kind of the start of those parties that then we had with you in Indianapolis, which was then we would travel around when our second book came out. Which is Train Like a Mother. We traveled around that was 2012. We traveled to different spots of the country, and we would have mother runner parties that started out in people's homes, but then that got to be too much of an imposition, and the parties got to be too big, so we started having them at run specialty stores. And yeah, so we did that, and then we did that again last year when our third book came out, and it's a trio. It's done. That book is called Tales from Another Mother Runner, and it is I believe it's 22 essays by a variety of mother runners, including Dimity, one by Dimity and one by me.
Awesome. Well, any specialty run store that like doesn't jump at the chance to have you guys in their store is crazy because you literally bring 200 women or however many will fit into that store.
Yeah, we, oh my goodness, we have had some, when I call, I mean, I cold call. Called you, or maybe on occasions some mother runner will be like, oh, I really love my local running store, you should have a party there. They don't all talk with such super high voices. So we kind of, I sometimes can see what they look like online, but we have gone into some stores that are smaller space than we thought, and it's like, oh wow, about 150 women are showing up. So there have been some that have been you are just elbow to elbow with people. And it seems like we oftentimes travel during heat waves. And I'm thinking about this one that we had in, I want to say it was Cincinnati. And it was so hot, and Dim and I were both wearing dark shirts for some reason. And we oftentimes have a photographer, and there we are, like holding up prizes that we're giving out, and we are just pitting out. We just have these huge sweat stains under our armpits. It's like, oh, glad a photographer caught that. But they were super fun. We aren't doing that as much this year. It takes a real toll to travel. We're going to be at some race expos. I adore. We both adore meeting mother runners in person, so it's just a whole different vibe than online interaction.
Totally. Do you have certain mother runners that you kind of see at, different expos and events that you're touring to, like these reoccurring moms that pop up that just happen
Oh
to be
yeah.
at your events?
Oh yeah. I'll be like, "Hey, we met 2 years ago. Was it Disney?" Or "Oh, we saw you here 2 years ago at Rock and Roll San Antonio." And I have discovered through another mother runner that I have a good memory of faces and sometimes names. I always love when I can pull someone's name out of my brain, my old brain, and they're like, "Oh, you remember me." And so that's always fun. And it's nice to see people and hear about their progression and find out if they were training for their first half marathon 2 years ago. Now they're stepping up to a marathon, or they've moved on from marathons to ultras or whatever it is to see their progression, to see them bring a new baby along. It's always the circle of life thing.
What is a day in the life? I mean, because you're kind of, I mean, is running the business, I mean, that's your thing, right? Running another mother runner.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's a more than full-time thing. And there is no typical day, and that suits me well. I like having variety in my life. So it could be, starting out filling orders. Like I said, we have an online store, it's motherrunnerstore.com, and our store is in my basement, lovely finished basement, which is where I'm talking to you from now. And so the storage room is right off of where I record the podcast, our podcast. And so might fill some orders and then maybe write a blog post or start playing. We had a retreat last year. We're having another retreat this year in Spokane, Washington, in September. So it might be planning out the details of that.
I need to
It
look
is,
into that. What is, tell me about
yeah.
that.
Yes. Yeah, so it is, I believe the dates are September 22nd through 25th. It is, I know it's a Thursday through a Sunday. Spokane, Washington is really an undiscovered gem of a small town, I think, or a small city. And it is in eastern Washington, lovely running trails. A beautiful river runs through the city. It has beautiful brick buildings that are being revitalized, great food scene, amazing running community there. And so we have been there several times for this women's race called Happy Girls, which is a part of a series here in the Pacific Northwest, really great women's running series. And so they have this Spokane race. It's a trail race, and it's an incredibly tough race, I have to say that. I have been lucky enough to MC the race, though, every year, which I adore doing. And so when we went there the first time, I'm like thinking, this is where we should have a retreat. And so we bring in a yoga instructor and a nutritionist and one or two running coaches. And we have these, sessions where people learn stuff, but we're also going on runs in the morning and doing yoga and eating really amazing food and making amazing friendships. And we have, last year we had one in Little Rock, Arkansas, which is another just fantastic gem of a city. And so we had that last April. And we have a Facebook page that's private for the people who went to the retreat. And I mean, those people still, I mean, that Facebook page is just hopping. And they, I don't know, maybe 20 of them got together in February. They all convened in Austin, Texas to do a half marathon that was kind of like a reunion of the retreat. And they just are having meetups at, they'll go, I think some of them did a Ragnar race together or something. I mean, it's just, they just made amazing connections that they feel are really going to last them a lifetime. So, like I said, we're having one of those in Spokane in September that I'm excited for. So part of my day, involves kind of planning out the details of that, or I'm involved in yesterday, a lot of my day involved. I'm involved with this program with one of our partners, which is Highlands, and they just launched a microsite yesterday with 10 people who are running the Boston Marathon, and it's the campaign's called Find Your Finish Line. And so I am one of the experts they have on Highlands FYFL.com, I believe is the URL. And so I was making comments on their on the participants, these 10 people who got free bibs, that I made comments about their content, and I write a blog post for it. So it's just all a variety of stuff.
That's my favorite kind of work too. I would never want to, it's not in my bones to get up and go 8 to 5 every day.
Oh, and to do the same thing, I am not a cog in a wheel.
Yeah.
So, and I just, you know, I made soup and called my mother halfway through the day.
So,
and then, you know, and then I worked until 6:15 or something like that. So I got in a full day's work, but it was on my own time frame. And, you know, did what activities suited me when they suited me. Because, you know, when you work for yourself, you start to realize what times of day you're most productive.
Yes.
So, so if the kids don't come home screaming loud from school, I find my most productive time of day is kind of from about 3 to 5:30.
And so what time do they get home?
They get home, sometimes they hang out at school and play, so they could get home. I mean, their school lets out at 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about my twins. They're the ones who come home and make noise. My 14-year-old comes home and goes directly to her room and doesn't talk to anyone. So, but she was in a school play recently, so she was not getting home until 6 o'clock because she had rehearsal every day. And it's not practice, Mom. It's rehearsal. Sorry, I come from the sports world where we call it practice. So then the twins get home anywhere from about 4 until 4:45.
And how old are they?
They are 10 and a half. They are finishing up fifth grade, which means in the Portland public school system, they will be middle schoolers next year. Mm. And my older daughter will be starting high school.
So do they ride the bus home? Like there's an after school bus for after school?
We carpool. So they get to ride with somebody else who's equally as flexible.
So you have a day or two during the week and then you take turns or whatever?
Yeah, I'm the morning driver. Yeah.
Oh, I think I would choose that spot too. Get them dropped off and then you have your day and you don't have
get them dropped off. Then I go shopping at Trader Joe's maybe 2 of the 5 days and pick up t-shirts from our printer on maybe one of the other days and, you know, drop off checks at Wells Fargo. It's all, you know, how many errands can I combine in one carpooling trip?
I'm in a different phase in my life right now because my kids are super young. I mean, my little guy is a little over 1, and my bigger guy is 3.5. So the bigger one's at school 3 days a week from 9 to 2. Well, school, whatever you want to call it, parents' day out, preschool. People call daycare school, so whatever. He does a lot of crafts and he learns new songs. But anyway, so, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I do my part-time thing at Athletic Annex, and then I sort of write on my blog. It's kind of been quiet a little bit lately. But launching this podcast, man, trying to find the time to do that when you're pretty much full-time at home with these little kids is tough.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
I mean, like last night, I was thinking, so I worked probably an hour and a half when my big one was napping, and then when my husband got home from work around 6, and I thought, okay, as soon as I get the little guy down, I'm going to sit in the office and work. Well, then my older one was demanding that I be the one to put him down, and so...
Oh, goodness.
And he makes me lay in there with him till he falls asleep, and I'm just not arguing with that at this point. But it's a good, like, 30, 45 minutes. And then by the time I get out of there, I'm half asleep.
Exactly, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So last night, I did watch – I said, I'm done. I'm not going to try to do anything. And then I went downstairs, had some ice cream, watched the Mindy Project. And then I huffed and puffed back upstairs, and I actually did some editing until about midnight, which is way too late for me. But I'm really glad I did it because I there was no other time of the day I would have accomplished it, you know.
You rallied.
I rallied.
I'm really impressed.
Rallying past 10 o'clock, especially if it's something work-related where my brain is mush, does not normally happen. But I will say I was super productive because there was absolutely no interruptions. Nobody's awake here, and but I think more than once a week going that late is just not doable because you're up at 6 no matter what. So
Oh, exactly. And with, if you're training for something, then it's like, oh, am I putting myself in a hole that's going to take a couple days to get out of?
yeah, and I'm not a worker outer in the morning. Like early morning, if I get up before my kids, I want to sit and read or write or do something. Like I don't like to run before like 8, 9 a.m.
Wow, look at you. Oh, I am up and
Gotta
out.
get it done.
I am, 'cause I get kind of antsy if I don't do the workout. Like on Sunday, so I have my best running friend's name Molly, and so we ran long on Saturday, and so then on Sunday we were quote unquote only going to run 2 miles and then do a 30-minute kind of body weight circuit at the gym and then run 2 miles. And so she's like, oh, if you want, we can do it in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. That would hang over my head. I can't do that. And so, I mean, we started at 9 on Sunday, which seemed wonderfully decadent. But no, this morning it was to run 2 miles to bar class and then take bar from 6 to 7 and then run the 2 miles home again. So we started out at 5:33. We started running toward bar. So.
Man, do you do that bar on a regular basis?
I do when I'm not training. Currently, I'm training for the Boston Marathon, and I typically now my coach has me just doing bar 1 day a week and then a strength circuit of her own devising, at least one other day. But typically, I do it Tuesday, Thursdays. Yeah, and I want to say it's kind of an athletic bar. I don't want anyone listening to think I am at all graceful, because that is not an adjective that gets thrown my way. I mean, definitely, I am a stiff old runner when you see me in bar class.
I did it once and it was amazing. And the place I went to, though, is a little, I mean, it's not that far from my house, but realistically, to go in the evening when my husband gets home from work, it's just like I'm not gonna drive. It's 20 minutes, but
Oh,
still,
that's a long drive by
it's
Portland
okay.
too.
Yeah, it's far enough. And then I found one at the Y. It's like it's not one of the Y's free classes because bar's super expensive, but it's super affordable compared to like a studio. But I just can't commit to buying the package because it's like every Tuesday at this time, and I'm thinking an event's gonna come up with Athletic Annex or whatever. But man, when I did it, I was just thinking this would be so helpful with running, just stretching out and the strength. I mean,
Oh
I'm
yeah,
gonna get committed at one point.
it's it 'cause it's a lot of hip work, it's a lot of glute work. To me, those are the two most important areas as a runner that it hits. And yes, it also builds your quads and does some back work and abs, but for me, the hips and glutes, particularly the glutes, are really just, it's like, oh, huh, look, those muscles are not dead. They actually can wake up and fire when I need them to. So it's really helpful. I go to this place here in Portland called The Refinery that I just adore, and I just adore the instructor and the playlist that she runs during class. And I used to do these more like circuit classes where you'd be doing jumping jacks or squats or planks or I don't know, burpees and all these things. And those are the easy ones that I just named off. It's all these, like the Turkish get up, these unbelievably hard, or pistol squats. Oh my gosh, I'm so bad at pistol squats. And so I just felt, you do it for like 50 seconds and then you go to the next station, you do, for 10 seconds and then you start all over again. And my form was so bad, and I just felt like I was really doing them about halfway as well as somebody really should be doing them. So I wasn't getting as much out of the class as I should. And so the instructor, who knows me very well, is like, hey, Sarah, I think you'd really like bar. And I'm like, eh, what? And she was so right. And I mean, I don't know, maybe I've been taking it for 2.5 years.
Oh
So,
wow. You
yeah.
were ahead of the trend.
Oh, look at me.
I think it
That's
was what that was probably when it started getting popular, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Bar Three is it started here in Portland, and that was I met the founder of that when my kids were really little at like a I met she was just another mom with a kid at, this little water fountain park that kids go to here in Portland. And I was like, "Oh, what's that? I've never heard of that." And now I'm always like, "Wait a minute, I met the founder of Bar
That's
Three?"
crazy. So
Yeah.
that was the original bar.
Pretty much that, and what are some of the other ones that are kind of because isn't there Pure Bar,
Yeah,
maybe?
there's Pure Bar. Yeah,
Yeah.
but so I wonder if every bar studio that opens with the name bar has to like pay her royalties or something.
I think only Bar Three does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
So you said you like the playlist they play. What kind of music does she play?
Oh, she plays, Usher and
Oh, so fast stuff.
pretty fast stuff, yes. So, Pitbull, Justin Bieber. She likes
Love
Justin
it.
Timberlake, who I'm sorry, I can't stand JT's
You
music.
don't like his voice? Is it too high?
He sings for too long. Make your songs shorter, JT, my gosh.
Interesting.
And he does not float my boat. I realize that a ton of women dig his scene. I think he's funny, but I don't find him hot.
I find him intimidating. Like there are certain famous people that I feel like if I met them, I wouldn't be intimidated or whatever, but I feel like he's just too cool.
That's so funny.
You know what I mean?
So, and she Gotye, when he first started doing music, I discovered Macklemore from her, and Ellie Goulding, she plays a lot of Aloe Black. And then occasionally lately she's been doing some kind of remix type stuff, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I think this is Small Town Boy, but it's sung by somebody from this century. So I get a lot of I really enjoy making playlists for my races, and we collaborate with Rock My Run, which is a free app, and I put together the song lists for mixes or stations, I guess, as they're now called on that.
Oh,
And
nice.
so yeah, we just came out with one. If people want to redeem one, go to download the free app, Rock My Run, and use the code Mega Mix, MEGAMIX, all uppercase, and you get a free 2.5 hour mix. So
So I will put that in the show notes too, for
yeah.
sure. I'm gonna also put the retreat you talked about in the show notes.
Oh, thank you.
Do you like Justin Bieber?
It's funny you asked that. I don't think personally he and I would get along very well. But I have to say that Sorry is the song that is just on my mind all the time now. Just that little do 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 mix. It just and so we my Molly and I don't have to call her my running partner. I've already said that her name is Molly. And so Molly and then her oldest daughter Lane, who's also training for a marathon, we ran on Saturday, and the final mile had to be our fastest of the had to finish strong and had to be the fastest of the run. And I'm like, I'm sorry guys, I gotta put on Sorry. So I turned it up as loud as I could. And halfway through, I pull out my phone out of the pocket of my Saucony Bullitt Capris, and I make it so it replays again. So we listen to Sorry twice in the final mile.
Love it.
Tells you how slow our mile was, but
He is so talented though. I mean, he had his little phase where he had his issues, and I'm sure he still has some, but he's kind of redeeming himself and coming back a little bit. And so do you ever watch Ellen?
On rare occasions, and I have
Yes.
my son loves watching it on YouTube.
Yes, so I don't really watch it. I definitely don't really watch it anymore. But I went through a phase where I did. And when he was kind of like coming out of that hole he kind of dug himself in, Ellen, how Ellen is. She just loves to love people. And she had him on several times. And it was during that phase where I was watching her. And I feel like she was doing him a favor, like, here's a platform for you to speak up and, tell everybody you're sorry or whatever for all the things that you supposedly have done. I don't even know what they are, but
DUIs, yeah.
yeah, exactly. And so I don't know. I love Ellen so much, and I thought that was cool that she was kind of like, okay, let's let him move on with his life now,
She redeemed him. That's
She
very.
did, and she's the perfect person to do that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. I love Ellen. Sometimes we go through phases where we're like, okay, how can we make another Mother Runner, world domination?
Oh my gosh, Ellen.
So, it's like, oh, for a long time, we're like, we gotta get on the Today Show. And then somebody was like, you guys need to be on Ellen because to see you and Dimity dance with Ellen would be hilarious, because Dimity's 6'4"
Is she that tall?
she's 6'3¾".
Oh
But
my
let's, you know,
gosh.
let's round up. She's 6'4", and then I'm the short one at 5'11". And
And
so.
you know Ellen, she probably looks a normal height, but she's probably 5'2".
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, because everybody on TV is just, doll size. And so, so some badass mother runners were like, you guys need to get on Ellen. And we're like, oh, that'd be so hilarious. It'd be awesome. So, if anyone with any strings is listening, get Serendimity on Ellen.
Get it, make it happen. Do you have you tried, like, have you filled out a form or anything? I mean, there's ways to.
Oh, I didn't know there were actual just normal channels. I thought you.
Well, I don't know for sure, but there's definitely ways to email somebody that knows a producer or something, you know?
Yeah, I don't. I just thought, we had to have made a funny YouTube video that, of us singing along to, whatever it is. So yeah, no, we have not. I mean, we had a publicist with each of our books. Our publishing house is very generous with doing our publicity. And so, yeah, no, we have not landed the Ellen show yet. Yet.
Well, you know, Ellen is all about the do-gooders. So if you do some like amazing project where you're helping women do something, she would probably be all about it.
Right, yeah.
So you said you're training for Boston. You've ran Boston before, haven't you?
I ran it in 2012, which was the year it was just miserably hot. It got to be almost 90
Oh.
degrees. And because I was not one of the top 10 finishers, I was out there on the course for quite a while. And I mean, it was super duper. I was sweating before the race even started because, my wave didn't start until 11 or something
Oh
like
my
that.
gosh.
So the sun was very high up in the sky. And what you forget, living here in Portland, where it is very much springtime right now, when I go east in April or even early May, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's no leaves on the trees yet. What is up with that?
Yeah.
And so, so there's no shade. There's just these, there was shade of, just the like crony fingers of the trees. And it's like, no, you need leaves to give me coverage. And so it was excruciatingly hot. So that Boston Marathon 2012 was my slowest marathon ever.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, but
I was there, not running, cheering. I was just parked on the side there on Boylston, super
Nice.
pregnant. Yeah, my husband ran it.
Nice.
And I
Yeah.
told him before the race, I said, "Don't you dare try to run this fast because I'm 7 months pregnant and I don't need you to have a heart attack right now."
Yeah, or to be dealing with you with heat stroke.
Yes.
Yeah. So
So
I'm
did you
hoping.
just run it slow? Like, were you from the start, were you like, I'm just gonna hang out?
Well, because the organizer said, oh, if you've picked up your bib, you can put off the race for another year. And here I've flown 3,000 miles to get there. I'm like, no, I gotta go now because I don't have the money to come back here again next year.
Right.
So I mean, at least then the pressure was off. I didn't have any need to perform or do well. And so yeah, mine it was just to get through it. And
Right.
about mid race, my new goal became don't walk. And there, I mean, it was the Walking Dead at that race. It was just so many people walking. And I just remember going up Heartbreak Hill and I just was passing a ton of people because everybody was walking. And so that gave me a little psychological boost for what it was. And but it was also I just some of my most vivid memories are of people who are handing out ice along the course. And so they would just had run into some supermarket and gotten the $1 bag of ice. And it just seemed like the most generous gesture ever, the most brilliant solution ever. And so, I was sticking it down the front of my capris and putting it into my sports bra and holding out my running hat and having people put ice in that and then putting it back on. I would put it back on my head so that it would, melt down my face for a couple miles. And people were handing out bottles of water and people spraying you with hoses. It was, gosh, reliving it now. It was a fairly miserable race.
I was hot sitting in a sundress in a lawn chair at the finish line. Like a tank top sundress, you know.
Yeah, it was I mean, you know, come on, it's mid-April. That was just insane.
Crazy.
So I am assuming that the weather will not be as hot. I'm hoping, though, it's not the opposite extreme.
Right.
And I'm also hoping I do not want a headwind.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah. That is so hard.
I find wind, it's the obstacle I cannot deal with. But we've actually had a lot of very windy winter here in Oregon. So I've had a lot of good training.
Oh, that's good.
With wind, yes. We did 18 miles down in Eugene, Oregon, which is Tracktown, USA. It's 2 hours south of here. And we, Molly Lane and I went on an overnight road trip, which is something I never do. We went down there to do a training run because Molly and Lane are running the Eugene Marathon on May 1st. Mm. So we got to run on par of the course for them. And oh my gosh, just the wind was just pushing us around. And, you know, at 5'11", it takes a lot of wind to push me around.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am not whippet thin. So, I felt extremely badass when we finished that run.
And that, you can use that on race day for sure.
Oh, I'm going to tap into that mojo for sure. Yeah.
So are you traveling with anybody? Or is anybody going with you?
So funny. Denise, the woman you, who works part-time for us, was like, oh, so Sarah, I've been meaning to ask, are you bringing any of your family? I'm like, no. you know, it's a, you know, expensive to travel
it
across the country.
So expensive.
Yeah. And also I'm, you know, this, Highlands Find Your Finish Line, that's going to be, I'm going to be,
oh.
I don't work fully on Boston Weekend. It's not, like some other races where I feel I am working, but mm-hmm. I'm going to be at the Highlands booth all day Saturday at, the Race Expo. I hope people are listening or at Boston will stop by and say hi. And then, probably going to have a couple meals with the Find Your Finish Line crowd. So, which is very pleasant and I'm very fortunate to be a part of, but it is still, me not just sitting in my hotel room in my pajamas, you know, watching, you know, House Hunters International marathons. So, I'll be working some. So no, I'm not bringing anybody, but my parents live in Connecticut. So I'm going to go out there and spend a couple days with them and then take the train up to Boston and then spend, I don't know, 4 nights, I guess, in Boston, and then fly home from there.
So you have a hotel room all to yourself then?
I do have a hotel room all to myself.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's so nice. And I mean, my gosh, I'm just like, oh, you know, what can I watch on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing.
For everybody listening, Sarah and I both did the Saucony 26 Strong project last year, and we had, you know, we stayed in Chicago in a hotel, and when I signed up for the program or whatever, I thought that you would be sharing a hotel room with your cadet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I specifically remember picking someone that I was like,
you want to share a hotel room?
Yes. That I was like, bathroom situation won't be weird. If there's only a king size bed, like it won't be super weird if we're in the same bed. Like, I don't know. I was just
pre-race. Who can I poop, you know, while they're listening to me poop, you know?
Yes. And it's not awkward.
Yes.
Who's not going to snore? Who am I not going to have awkward conversation with?
Sure. Yeah.
But then I found out we had our own hotel room. And of course, like, you know, my husband had to stay home with the kids or else I would have brought them.
Yeah.
And I just kind of twiddled my thumb. I arrived at the hotel and was super tired, and I laid down in the bed and turned the TV on and thought, I don't have to talk to anybody or do anything. And it was, I think I only stayed 2 nights, but still, staying in a hotel room all by yourself is kind of a really big treat.
It is such a delight. I mean, so I have traveled a lot for Another Mother Runner, which is one of the many things I love about having Another Mother Runner, is getting to see all different parts of the country and stay in hotel rooms. And Dimity and I, when we travel together, we share a room. And of course, everybody thinks we are, you know, former basketball, pro basketball players on some sort of reunion trip. But
that's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, it seems like, oh, and we have like Denise, the person we've mentioned now, mm-hmm. three times. She is almost as tall as I am. Then we have this woman, Adrienne Martini, who writes every other week for our website. And then she also contributed an essay to Tales from Another Mother Runner. She's about 5'9". So the four of us were in Syracuse, New York, you know, land of the orange men and I guess the orange women. And so one of the house cleaners was coming back in from a run. She said, "Oh, what sport is it you do?" And I was like, "Oh, I just went for a run." And I could tell that wasn't the answer she was looking for. And I'm like, I said, "Oh, you think we're basketball players?" She was like, "Yes, you know, see. And I'm like, "No, not basketball players."
And you never played.
I did not. I am so terrible at ball sports. Mm. And I was not athletic as a child. I was a total reader as a child. I come from a long line of brainy, cerebral people, and so did not play any sports as a child. And I mean, I was, you know, super tall by middle school, mm-hmm. and just would get trounced in gym class because, particularly, I'm no good at running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I have no fast twitch muscles. So, no, basketball is not my sport.
For some reason, I picture Demity doing volleyball. Is that just like, am I making that up?
No, it's because her daughter, who looks a ton like her and is on the path to being almost as tall as Dim, she is a volleyball player.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, yes. No, Dim also is not coordinated with ball sports. Dim has recently retaken up tennis, which is funny that we were both rowers in college and we both played tennis in high school. Mm. So I take it back. I can play one ball sport, okay, but I'm from Connecticut, and that's the price of admission for living in Connecticut is learning how to play tennis. So, but oh my goodness, I tried taking up lacrosse in 11th grade because I switched to a private school, and it's a, you know, all high school sports, no cut sports, and the coach just very kindly just didn't put me on either the JV list, and it was our understanding that, okay, we're not going to mention this, right?
Do your twins play sports?
So all three of my kids play sports. My older daughter very begrudgingly played basketball and soccer, and she does dance at school. And then the twins are very, very athletic. My girl twin is on a year-round soccer team. She plays basketball. She doesn't enjoy it, but I love watching basketball. Mm. And you get to be indoors. What a wonderful thing in the wintertime.
Right.
And our son plays soccer, and he both the twins are very fast runners, so he is he'll once again be on the track team this spring.
Those soccer players, they always seem to be good runners.
They are. So, and they really, I mean, they're definitely one of the faster players on their respective teams. And so, soccer's a huge sport here in Portland, and I love watching it.
So when did you, my husband and I have been talking about this a lot lately. So our oldest is 3.5, and I'm seeing all sorts of friends and acquaintances around, you know, mom acquaintances who have their kids in, like, you know, organized soccer, which at 3, or gymnastics or whatever. Mm-hmm. And my husband's very much of the opinion it's a waste of money until they're 5. You know, all they need to do is play, or, you know, whatever. What did you do? What was your take?
So we, I mean, as I recall, it's funny how much you forget even by the time kids are 10. And I'm suddenly you telling me that, I'm like, oh, right. We used to do this little indoor soccer thing with them when they were 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, it was a total waste of money. There were a lot of tears. There was a lot of keeping, a mad mommy forcing them to go out onto the field. But they all started what's called here in town kick and chase. And so that was in kindergarten. They did that. And, it was kind of just the kids all clustered around a ball. But then they all started playing games when they were in first grade.
Mm, okay.
So, and I have to say, since I didn't take, I took gym class, but, it wasn't, I don't know, we never really learned skills. And what you learn as your kids start to be in organized programs is that they get taught skills, and that sounds so idiotic, but I used to think, like, well, how do they know to do that? Like, how do you know to pass the ball that way or to dribble and all that sort of thing? And I'm like, oh, I get it. If you do drills and you're taught the mechanics of it all, then you can put it together in a game. Mm. And whereas I just thought, oh, people who are good at basketball or soccer just kind of knew how to do all that stuff. And so I wish I could turn the clock back and learn some skills, because, I just have no skills, and you can't teach this old dog new tricks.
Well, that's good advice, too, thinking about when you get your kids started in that. I was kind of on the same, thought process of that as my husband, like, you know, wait till at least five or whatever. But I was also, I think you know this person I interviewed. I think she was my fourth interview, Christy Beth Adams. She owns two Fleet Feet in Nashville, and I'm pretty
Oh,
sure you
yeah.
guys came to her store.
Yeah,
Okay.
nice.
Yeah, she is awesome. But she was telling me about her two little ones. They're 3 and 5. They're in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my 3-year-old in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But what she said that I'm like, this is great, is, you know, they're learning respect. They're learning, because I mean, that's a sport where you're listening to the instructor and you're doing
Right.
what you're told. And I'm thinking, if for nothing else, that's what I
Yeah.
should put my 3-year-old in.
Right. My son did karate or karate, I guess. Yeah, something. He has this little kind of white dojo type outfit, and he is not a rule. He at the time was not a rule follower, and not one. He was very high energy, so it can instill some things, but it's not going for my kids at least. It was not a miracle game changer. And gosh, now I just think about all the sports I've had my kids in. They did that. I mean, the twins have done cross country. Oh, they did gymnastics. They did dance. John took parkour, which is, you know, the thing where you use kind of the natural environment or the man-made environment, like curbs and stairs and planters and things like that, and you do tricks off of them.
Oh, wow. I've never
You
heard of
know.
that.
So it's kind of, well, do you ever watch American Ninja Warrior?
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of those people are into parkour.
Okay.
So being able to jump really fast from those kind of lily pad type things to another and flipping over things, that's all very parkour. Parkour is a, it was created in France. And so it's just kind of almost poetry and dance and the physical, very agile physical world all combined together. And because there's a certain artistry to it all. Gosh, I sound like such a flake talking about it, don't I? But
You're
there.
so in tune with nature, Sarah.
I am. Oh my gosh, that railing really looks like. So he did that for a while. And if that was closer, it was again back to you saying that, you know, you have to drive 20 minutes to go somewhere. It was about a 25-minute drive. And that was just, that's far past my breaking point. But otherwise, I think he could be like a little parkour. And we think about getting him involved in rock climbing. He's my son.
Ooh,
He's very
yeah.
small and very nimble. So, yeah.
You know, American Ninja Warrior is coming to
Oh.
Indianapolis.
Oh, you have to go watch it. Oh my gosh, that'd be so much fun.
Well, I know. Anytime something cool like this comes to Indy, I will like plant the seed in my husband's ear, like, "Hey, they're coming." Or, you know, like last comic standing came, and I'm a big comedy person, and I plant the seed hoping he'll investigate and get
Oh,
tickets or
gosh.
something.
Nope.
But I know, we've been married 8 years. I should have learned by now, like, if I want to go, I need to investigate and say, "Hey, I got us tickets to this." So I don't know what that looks like, though. If you have to, I'm assuming you have to get tickets.
You know, but it never looks all that
I know,
crowded.
it looks like people are just kind of like sitting on bleachers and stuff.
Right, and that they're handing out Red Bull or something, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into that.
Yeah, Palm
I
Aid, you
have to look into
know,
that. And
whatever.
then I'm also gonna Google this parkour and see if there's anything, in Indy, and I'm gonna suggest it to my husband. We s send Marshall to it and see what he says and how much he makes fun of me for
I don't know how much of the artistry and the, you know, poetry and the lyricism of it all that they introduced, but
Yeah.
it's but yeah, you know, flipping over and, you know, they definitely
I think it
have the
sounds cool.
it's really I mean, you know, and I mean, if you're a nervous Nelly, it's probably not the sport to get your kid involved in, because there are some drops and you know, some twisting of things. And so yes,
I am not a nervous Nelly mom, are you?
I am so
Yeah,
not
not at all.
Yeah, no, I am an optimist, and I don't know. I always imagine the best is going to happen, not the worst.
I feel like anytime we're at my in-laws, and I love my in-laws so much, but I feel like my sister-in-laws and my mother and father-in-law are always kind of like, You should be watching your kid a little bit more. Like, he could fall down the stairs. I'm like, well, if he falls down, it's like, it's carpet. Like, it won't be too bad. And I am also of the mindset, like, if you fall down and get hurt, I'm not gonna run and be like, oh my gosh, are you okay? What can I do? I'm gonna evaluate the situation and see, okay, does this need extra attention or can we kind of shake it off a little bit?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And it's funny though. Sometimes I step back and I'm like, oh gosh, am I not being like quote unquote maternal on this? Am I not being sweet enough? And mom, because my Daphne, my younger daughter, will also, mom, you always say, you're okay. You're okay. Sometimes I'm not okay. And I'm like, oh goodness gracious. Maybe I need to be a little bit nicer.
Yes. Well, so this isn't your 14-year-old.
No, this is my 10 and a half year old.
Because
Yeah.
I'm a boy mom, and I don't know if I'll ever be a girl mom, but 14-year-old girls, that just sounds terrifying to me.
She is it's you never know what you're gonna get. And so, like when I go to wake her up in the morning, I'm like, okay, I've been having a good day so far. What am I gonna get now? And I yell up, I'm like, hey, Phoebe, time to get up. I know. Or okay. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness, she's in a good mood today.
Yeah. So I want to ask you, you run the Another Mother Runner podcast. So you're the main host, and then Dimity joins you sometimes. Is that right?
Yes, it used to be. So we just had our 200th episode and 200th
Wow.
first. So we did kind of best of shows, which was a lot of fun. And so for about the first, gosh, maybe even like 190 shows, it was Dim and me together. And then she has moved over to really spearhead our Train Like a Mother Club, which is this training plan and program that we really feel that this is a little bit of a tangent, but that the race is almost kind of the easy part. It's kind of like the party, and it's the training that is really the tough part to get through. And so we have programs from 5K all the way up to marathon, where when you join the Train Like a Mother Club, you get a coach designed training plan. You get weekly newsletters full of encouragement and tips and advice and discounts. You get swag from our partners, so Noon and Goo and Balega socks and all sorts of good stuff, Sweatex sport detergent. And so then also you get private Facebook page. So if you're training for a 5K, you're with all the 5K people. If you're training for a marathon, you're with all the marathon people. We have private clubs on Strava, which is a GPS and social media app. And so it's just another way that we're building community. And so then we really see it as, kind of holding your hand and pushing you through your training. And so Dim is the head of the Train Like a Mother Club. So with her taking on that very full-time job within Another Mother Runner, I was like, oh, okay. So bringing in some new voices to the podcast. So we have our coach, who's this woman, Christine Hinton. We have Adrienne Martini, who I already mentioned. She's a writer in Central New York and who blogs for us. We have Molly, my running partner. We have this woman, Ellison, who's also here in town and one of my running partners and is very into books. So oftentimes when we have an author on, so like we have Ambie Burfoot's going to be the guest this week. So Ellison's my co-host. And then also then Dimity occasionally. So it's fun. It's to bring in some new voices, and I laugh a ton on the podcast. And so, somebody new to crack me up every week. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoyed the heck out of podcasting.
So, do you record once a week?
typically. We do, yes. Yeah, so on occasion we'll record two podcasts in a week, but usually it's once a week. Yeah,
And then you roll out the episode
every Friday we
every
have
Friday.
episode come out on our website, which is anothermotherrunner.com. And we it's on iTunes, and we just joined a podcast network called Acast, and they're pretty amazing. It's a podcast network that's aimed primarily at women and minorities, which are two underserved markets by podcasts. The majority of podcasts are hosted by men and aimed at men.
Sounds
So
like I need to join that.
I know. So get some girl power with Acast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
What's go ahead.
it's called Acast, Acast.
Okay.
And they are a company that started, I want to say, in Sweden, and they recently launched here in the US. And so podcast network, just it's think of ABC or NBC for TV shows. It's the equivalent of podcasts. So then you get advertising from it, and you also hopefully get referrals from other podcast young people. Other hosts will be like, oh, I was listening to another Mother Runner, another one you might like is, you know, that type of thing.
So what other podcasts do you listen to?
Well, I have to say, I don't listen to any other running ones. I am a total political junkie. So lately I have just been gorging myself on political podcasts. So I listen to 538. I listen to NPR Politics. I listen to Slate Political Gabfest. I listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me as a podcast. This American Life. I am not buying into the second season of Serial. I can't. I mean, I was, you know, completely addicted to the first season when it was coming out. Like, so I listened to it week to week, and this season just does not grab me.
Did you start it at all?
I did. Well, at first I wasn't going to, and then somebody said it was good, and so then I listened to a couple, and you know, when a podcast starts to be wah wah wah. You know, I just was like, oh, I'm only paying attention to packing up these orders. I can't remember a single word this person has said for the past 90 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So and I have to replay.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly because it's a show that, you know, it's a brilliant show. And I think Sarah Koenig is a brilliant reporter and journalist. It's just not a topic that interests me. Which is maybe, small-minded of me, but, there's only so many hours in a day.
That's true. I only got through the second episode. I do think I'll go back and finish it. I don't know when, but.
Also, it seems kind of odd because, you know, I could be reading about it in the New York Times or something like that. So
right.
It's hard for me, I guess it's because there are so many hours of it, they would be revealing stuff that I couldn't find from other print sources. But it's not intriguing to me. And then I did some of the podcasts that are kind of storytelling that are fictional, and I'm forgetting the one that's by GE Presents. I'm forgetting the name of it, but it was kind of almost X-Filian.
Ooh.
And yeah, so I listened to that. So I also Needlepoint, which is one of my probably my only hobby other than running. And is reading a hobby?
Yes.
And is cooking a hobby? Because I do.
Yes.
Then I do have more than one hobby. but Needlepoint is what to me seems the most hobby like, and so it's a wonderful way to listen to podcasts because my hands are busy.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, I sound Amish almost, don't I? My hands are busy.
Needlepointing. But you can't just sit and listen to a podcast because you got to be doing something else.
Oh, you know, I think men maybe can sit and listen to a podcast, but I mean, and then suddenly it's like, oh, well, I could go clean up John's closet, or, you know, oh, I really need to put that laundry away, and then I'll just put my iPhone in my pocket, and then I can, you know, have it wherever I go. You know, so, yes, no, there's no way you could just sit and listen to a podcast. No, you gotta be. And I listen to a lot of stuff while I cook dinner.
I do. Yeah. I listen when I run. And then I just put my phone on, in the car. I just like turn the volume up. I'm not like, don't drive with headphones on, and I'll listen to it in the car. Marshall, my older one's getting to the age though. If he's in the car, he's like, I don't want to listen to this. Like I want some music, you know? So, but yeah, I do listen to him in the car too. So what books are you loving right now?
I am loving a series that is not new, but it's new for me, so that counts. It's this series by an author called Lori R. King, and it is a series that is about Sherlock Holmes and this kind of young woman apprentice almost that he takes under his wing. And so they're mysteries. And the first one is called The Beekeeper's Apprentice, and I'm reading that for book group, and there's 8 of them. So I'm a big believer in the library system, and we have a wonderful library system here in Portland. And so I just went and got books 2, 3, 4, and 5. So I'm really buying into those.
Yeah.
I started reading The Beekeeper's Apprentice for my book group, and I'm just delighted to have found it. And I do want to get back to my book group. Last book choice was All the Light We Is It All the Light We Cannot See or All the Light?
Yeah. You're like the third person that's brought this book up.
Yeah, so I did not get around to reading it for book group in time, but hearing them talk about it, I'm like, oh, that sounds really good. So that's at my bedside. And then I am a huge fan of graphic novels. And so I like graphic novels that are based on historical stuff, and like I like true crime graphic novels. And so I have a couple intriguing looking graphic novels by my bed, including one about Abraham Lincoln and the Emancipation Proclamation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there, I just sound like such a nerd. I'm reading
You
graphic
do.
and I needlepoint. Oh my gosh.
But you also run and you like to cook.
Yeah, right.
So, what are you loving? Like, what is your favorite thing in the world right now? Whether it be food or a restaurant, whatever.
I am Kavita. How
What's
about
that?
the probiotic drink?
Okay.
And I love the lemon ginger flavor.
Okay.
They come in super heavy glass bottles because I guess probiotics are really, fragile liquids. And I only buy it when it's on sale for $2 for $5 at Whole Foods, because
Okay.
otherwise usually it's $2.99. Or my gosh, when we went to Chicago for the marathon, we were I went into a Whole Foods and Kavita there is like, I don't know, $3.99 or like $4.29. And I mean, okay, I'm on expense account when I'm there, but I'm like, but I own the company, so this
Right.
is our own money, really, when it comes down to it. And so I guess Kavita, because it's Portland, it's probably like subsidized by the government or something. So it is just super. It's a kind of not. I would assume it's not to everyone's taste. It has a
Yeah, what does it taste like?
slight bitterness to it, and a little. It's a tiny bit, the tiniest a bit fermented. So I mean, have you ever tried kombucha?
Yes.
Okay, it's very much like kombucha,
Okay.
except it doesn't give you a buzz. Some kombucha, if it's the right kind of kombucha, can give you a buzz.
Nice.
And I do like kombucha too. So I don't drink coffee. I don't drink caffeine. And so I feel that buying a $2.50 Kavita, lemon ginger Kavita, is kind of an on occasion is my guilty
Oh
pleasure.
yeah. I mean, you get a latte at Starbucks, it's $5.
Oh yeah. So every once in a while, my husband will kind of give me the stink eye when I come in, with the 10 bottles that I bought at Whole Foods, recycled, paper bag, and I'm like, get off my case. I don't go to Starbucks.
Well, and that's what I say about Starbucks. I'm probably like a twice a weeker fancy coffee drinker, and I just look at my husband's craft beer selection and I'm like, nope. I know how much that six pack of very special sour beer cost.
Oh my God,
So.
that's so funny. I have to say, I am it's almost heresy to say, but I am not a big beer drinker, and this is, the land
Right.
of microbrews, but sour beers.
Oh, I love them.
I love sour beers.
Love a
Oh
sour beer.
my goodness, there is a place here in Portland that specializes in sour beers. And the school that my kids go to is an arts focused elementary school. It's public, but we always have to do fundraising, and we were at one point going to do a 5K race. And so the committee that I was on, we would always meet at that place that serves sour beer. And I'm like, we can keep having these meetings as long as you want, because I am loving the sour
Oh
beer.
yeah. There's one that New Belgium makes. I think it's called Lips of Faith. I don't know if that's the specific name or that's just like the overall name, but I can't keep up with the craft beer lingo, but I love it so much. It's really expensive though.
Yeah, I would think I have. It's funny because I've never seen a sour beer in a bottle. So it's all the ones at this place that I'm embarrassed to say I am forgetting the name of, but they're all on tap. And there's this one. It's a strawberry beer, and oh, it's so good. But it's one of those places that just is ripe for a Portlandia spoof, because it has, the menu is just so many words. And then the waiter comes around and he doesn't write anything down. And he's just going back there. He's putting a Miller Lite into a glass, and he's putting some food coloring in it. Come on, people. That was my thought before he came out, and I had just like honed in on strawberry. I'm like, oh, fine, whatever. And so many adjectives swimming from my eyes. He brings it out. I'm like, dear God, this is so good.
This is heaven.
Yeah, and they make homemade pickles at that
Oh, I
place.
love homemade
Oh
pickles.
my God, Lindsay, you and I think we
Kindred
really,
spirits.
oh my gosh, it's crazy the number of things we've shared.
I
So that,
don't needlepoint, though.
okay.
I think that would be really frustrating to me.
You know that the picture is already on the canvas.
Okay, well maybe, okay.
I think a lot of people confuse cross-stitching with needlepoint. It's basically I'm doing paint by numbers, but with a needle.
Okay,
and
okay.
Yeah.
I did once, we have this thing in Indy called trade school where you can teach your trade and other people teach their trade and it's free, but you bring, so say the person teaching the cross stitching or whatever supports the Humane Society. They just ask that you bring, you know, dog blankets, things like that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I found it and I'm like, this is so cool. I'm going to learn how to do this and this. And I signed up for class, bought the gear for it. And I wanted to leave halfway through the class. I mean, I, out of respect to the teacher, I stayed, but
what was the class?
You use the two utensils. I can't remember what it's called. You're making like hats and scarves.
Knitting?
Yes, I think it's knitting.
Oh my God, I love you not knowing the word knitting.
Is it knitting? There's a couple things. There's
or crochet.
Knitting or crocheting. I couldn't remember which one it was.
Let's not forget tatting too.
It wasn't tatting. It was like a common. It was either knitting or crocheting.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
Either way, I had... My big fingers were not digging it. Like, I was just like, this is frustrating. This is not therapeutic. And maybe it would be therapeutic once I got it down. But I have those needle points or whatever they are still sitting in my desk. Like, I need to get rid of them because they're just going to sit there for 3 more years.
That's right. I signed up once for a knitting course and then I ended up not going to it. And it would be nice because you can make actual practical things.
You can make gifts. Yeah. Like a nice hat, baby
hat. Yeah. Your friend has a baby, you know, make some booties or a little sweater or hat. And my gosh. So I finally, you know, there's only so many needlepoint pillows you can have in your house before, you know, they ship you out of Portland because then you really start to show your Connecticut roots too much. But so I then have started making pillows for other people. So I made a very darling squirrel pillow for my running partner. And now I'm working on a very elaborate canvas for my best friend who lives in Brooklyn, New York. And so it's, she's into graphic design. And so it's rather avant-garde design of this kind of avant-garde, kind of freaky of this girl. And there's a pig and there's a watermelon and there's all these flowers. And it's kind of folk art meets the 21st century.
Ooh, interesting.
Yes.
I need to see some pictures. You know what? We should put that on the show notes. Pictures of your pillows. That would be awesome.
Oh my gosh. And, oh my goodness. I have one that, I had to put away because I recently redid my living room. And so I'm like, but I can't get rid of it. I spent hundreds of hours of my life pregnant with Phoebe. And there's a bee in the middle of it. So you get it. Her name's Phoebe. And there's a bee. And
she's got to take that with her when she moves out.
Oh, definitely. But I have to figure out, like, how do I store it? Because I mean, the one thing is you can't kind of kill needlepoint. I mean, it lasts forever.
Yeah.
And it wears really well. Like, my mother needlepointed the covers on all her dining room chairs. And, you know, you can spill stuff on it and you can just wipe it up. And, you know, no matter how many butts sit on it, it still looks good.
I think our dining room chairs, because they came from my great grandma. I think ours are probably needlepoint now that you say that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Or you go to, you know, you go to churches and a lot of the kneelers are needlepointed by the congregation.
Yeah.
Or even sometimes the chair covers and, you know, or the cushions that they have on the benches, on the pews, I guess that's what you call a bench in a church is called a pew.
Right.
I'm finding myself actual words that mean these things.
So what are you not, is there anything you're not so much loving right now?
Oh,
I mean, I know you're an optimist, but
I'm not loving wind. How about that? I'm not.
That's good.
Yeah, it's it is my nemesis.
So you mentioned you're watching the OJ versus
the people versus
OJ Simpson. I haven't even started it, but you love it.
Oh, it's so good. And the thing is, I can't find anybody else who's watching it.
Well, my best friend is, but I want to watch it.
It is, well, you're also probably too young to remember the whole.
Well, I think I was a
child or something.
Fifth grade.
Yeah, yeah. So I was a young working person, and I distinctly remember when the verdict was going to be read. We all, I worked in Boston at the time at a magazine, and we all went to the apartment of the woman who lived closest to the office so we could watch it. And because, you know, you didn't have TVs
in offices then.
Yeah, right. Or on your computer. So.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, so I started watching it. Oh, the acting in it is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, Oh my, and I am not a fan of John Travolta, but him as Robert Shapiro, it is creepy how much he looks like Robert Shapiro and his mannerisms. And oh my goodness, Sarah Paulson, who plays Marcia Clark, makes Marcia Clark such a sympathetic character, and your heart just goes out to her with that. She gets that funny haircut, and that she comes in and she thinks she looks all good, and then everybody in the courtroom just like gives her this look like, what have you done? And Judge Ito makes this awful comment to her.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just, your heart breaks for her. And just all these characters, they are it's so magnificently acted and researched. And I mean, it is, I'm just going to say it, it is, remind you how utterly insane it is that he was not convicted.
Oh my gosh. So is this like a 12 episode Netflix thing?
It's one of those, you know, kind of an event.
Like Making a Murderer or whatever? Or
yeah, so it's, well, it's kind of like those American Horror Story. So it's by the same dude. It's by that Ryan Murphy who created Glee and now it's gone on to create American Horror Story, which I've never watched. But those are, you know, seasons where the season is self-contained and the next season won't have any of the same characters.
Got it.
So this one is, it's called American Drama or something, or American Crime Story, The People versus OJ.
Okay.
And so next season's American Crime Story might be totally different. So it's kind of like Serial now that I think about it. And it is just, it's amazing. And it's also such a period, you know, drama in its own way of the 90s. And, you know, it's like seeing people talk on these cell phones that are all big, you know, and the clothes. And oh my gosh. And it's so funny. I admit I'm the total bad mother. I do let my children watch it if they want to. And my twins are riveted by it. My son in particular, he will go to his grave thinking that OJ did not kill
him. Oh, really? Interesting.
Oh, he's so convinced. I'm like, John, all that blood evidence. He's like, nope. Nope, OJ is not guilty. I'm like, all right, honey. And so, oh God, what was my point with that? Oh my gosh, what? I've completely lost my train of thought.
Well, that's okay. I'm interested in it. I'm gonna be late to the bandwagon though, because I mean, did you watch Making a Murderer?
I watched it, and I have to say that I feel that if other people hadn't raved about it so much, I probably wouldn't have stuck with it.
I know. I felt like I just had to finish it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I was a little bit bored. Like, I wanted to do other things, but I couldn't because you have to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but then you're kind of like, well, the sound quality's kind of cruddy.
Uh-huh.
They just keep using all the shots of all those cars and that. Oh, and, yeah, so I watched it. I you know, and I have seen a couple news items about it since then, but I'm not utterly fascinated by
it. No.
Yeah.
I just want to know so bad. Whenever I finish something like that, I'm like, did you do it or did you not?
Oh my gosh, so my version of heaven is that you get to find out the answer to all the mysteries.
Oh yeah.
So what happened to Amelia Earhart? You know, what, you know, was there a conspiracy with JFK? What happened to John? Who killed John Benet Ramsey?
Uh-huh.
Did OJ do it? You know, all those things. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean, definitely all the evidence on the show points to that there is no other way that all the things could have aligned to make, you know, the whole glove thing and the blood evidence. Yeah. And when I feel a little tiny personal connection to OJ. When I first lived in San Francisco, I lived right up the street. Like, I lived on top of this hill, Potrero Hill, and down on one side of, on the south side of Potrero Hill, are these projects where OJ grew up.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
were childhood friends.
I was, you know, we'd meet at the basketball court near my house.
You know? Oh my gosh. It's funny because that trial does seem like a different lifetime for me since I was so young, but
yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so crazy. I have to watch it for sure.
Oh, it's fan. And I know what it was. I know what it was. What I was saying was that my kids are totally fascinated because, you know, Robert Kardashian.
Oh, right.
Was one of OJ's attorneys. And so they show Robert with his Robert. Like, I knew Robert Kardashian, of course. Bob. They show Bob with his family. And so it's young Courtney and Kim and Chloe. And
are these actors too?
Oh yeah. And so they definitely is done with a wink toward the audience of like, yep, this is the Kardashian girl when they were little. And, you know, they make Bob Kardashian out to be like a really good family guy.
Yeah.
And you know that those Kardashian kids were, you know, they considered, you know, Uncle Juice, you know, they thought he was, you know, part of the family. And so the twins just loved, they're like, "Look, it's Kim Kardashian." I'm like, "Oh yeah, it's an actress, an 11-year-old actress playing the role, but yes, honey, that is supposed to be Kim Kardashian."
Kim Kardashian before she made sex tapes.
Yeah, before her butt got really so pronounced.
I just I that whole family, it's just I can't even wrap my head around it.
Oh my goodness. You know, now I used to get Us Weekly, and once you stop getting a subscription to Us Weekly, you can really cut the Kardashians pretty much out of your life.
That's probably a better way to live. It just the bad thing about it though, and I don't watch the show. I did used to get into the habit sometimes, like if it was on and I was like getting ready to go somewhere and I just have the TV on in the background, if it was on, I would watch it. But we don't have all those like cable channels anymore. But I know for sure if I put it on, I would sit there and watch it and I would genuinely be interested and I would hate myself for
Oh,
it.
you feel so dirty. Exactly. Yeah.
It's just like, why am I giving them, you know, the opportunity to take my time like this? But I do find it interesting. I'm just like the Real Housewives, though, and those stupid shows. It's like, it is just like mindless. I don't have to think about anything.
Yeah. Oh, and
But
it makes you feel
then,
good about yourself, too.
yes, and you're like, these are real people. I do. I think about them though, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe they are doing some good. I don't, you know, I don't know what they're doing with all their multi-million dollars, but like, hopefully, maybe they're doing something good that we just don't know about. But if they were, we'd probably be told about it.
Yeah, well, oh my gosh, I was reading. I went to go get a massage recently, and I was reading a back issue of Us Weekly. So, like I said, I haven't read it for months. And there was in there a piece in there that's saying that Kanye gave Kim 150 Christmas presents.
Like, why? Like,
I
what?
mean, like, let's just start with the excess of all that wrapping paper. Like,
Right.
I'm sure it's gold foil paper, so you can't even recycle it.
Well, and he didn't wrap it. He paid someone to wrap it.
Oh, yeah.
But
Ugh.
Kanye West was recently asking Mark Zuckerberg for money because apparently he's in the hole millions of dollars from some bad investments he made.
I have no doubt. I mean, you definitely, that is the one thing when I watch reality shows, I always think, gosh, I hope they have a good money manager
Well, seriously.
because otherwise they are just burning through it. I mean, how do you charter jets on a regular basis or own a jet unless you have billions of
And
dollars?
it's gross too. Like it's gross when you think about the world in general. Like that
Oh,
people are living like this. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
exactly. And I don't know. Also, if you had all that money, if you could buy anything, how would you ever decide what to buy?
I know.
Because you know, the only, like, you know, I don't know, like, occasionally I'll buy a nice purse, and by a nice purse, I'm talking like a Coach purse,
Right.
and that I save for, that I mull over for half a year, so then it's out of style completely. But you know, and so then I'm like, okay, I'm finally going to buy it. And then, but it's like, if I could just buy it at any time, why wouldn't I just be like, oh, well, I'll get a blue one today and I'll get a brown one tomorrow and a dark gray one the next day. And, you know, and I just, I don't know. I think when you have to really think and pick and choose, then things become that much more meaningful. Because, you know, you can't take it with you. And how do you get rid of all that stuff? Ugh, you
Oh my
know what?
gosh, yeah. When you even look at the closets of those in the on those shows of those girls, it's like that's ins
Ugh.
it's insane.
Oh yeah, and I mean, you know, how many times can you drop stuff? And I'm sure they can't drop stuff off at Goodwill because they think,
No.
you know, because then I saw Kanye wearing this jacket once, and I'm gonna sell it on eBay.
Yeah, what do people like? I mean, because it's like I'm not gonna go take a $3,000 jacket to Goodwill. What do people like that do with their old clothes, I wonder? Pass them down to their assistant friends.
There you go.
Their friends that have became their personal assistants.
Or I, you know, and then also, and then I think a lot of wealthy people feel that if they are known to drop stuff off and then something happens with this merchandise, then they'll be liable for it.
Oh, right.
Oh, so that, like, oh, well, I don't need these, you know, my kids don't need these hoverboards anymore. I'm gonna get rid of them. Well, someone's gonna come after me when the hoverboard lights on fire.
Right. Oh my gosh. Well,
Yeah.
this is just what I wanted this podcast to be. I want to talk about your business. I want to talk about running, but I wanted, you know, my whole vision is to talk about mindless fun things as well. So, I mean, the Kardashians totally fit
Yeah,
that
we have
profile.
filled that bill, I think. That is needle pointing. We have checked the boxes off.
That is so true. Well, I am going to wrap up because I have to go pick up my big guy from preschool.
Very good. Well, this was really, really fun, Lindsay. I so enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for being one of my first guests.
All righty. Well, good luck. I look forward to sharing with this podcast with the Another Mother Runner community. So make sure you send the link.
I will let you know. I'm hoping to launch probably in the next, at the most 2 weeks. I'm going on vacation to Florida mid-April, and if it's not launched by then, the vacation is not going to be nearly as enjoyable.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, take it easy, Lindsay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to episode 6. We will see you next week, and our next episode will drop on Friday. Have a great day. Thanks.